One of the quickest ways for us to get better sales results is to model the behavior of those who are already getting those results. So today, we're going to discuss how you can use modeling to jumpstart your sales results. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin today, I have a really cool freebie for you. It's a workbook, and it has lots of ideas on how you can keep in touch between meetings and stay top of mind, and most of all, stand out. And you can get your free copy by going to yoursalesplaybook.com/free workbook. That's going to be all lowercase letters, yoursalesplaybook.com/free workbook. Now, today, we're going to be talking about how you can use a technique called modeling to get better sales results. Now, Merriam-Webster defines modeling as an example for imitation or emulation. Said another way, and kind of influenced by Tony Robbins, success leaves clues. Now, it leaves clues in the form of behaviors. So what we want to do is look at those people who are getting the results that we want. So this way, we can imitate and emulate those behaviors. So how do you do that, right? I mean, up until this point, you're probably saying, duh, of course, modeling. I've heard of it. Who hasn't heard of modeling? But where do you start and how do you do it? Well, I got you covered. So these ideas that I have for you are very, very simple, not going to cost you a dime, and you could do them immediately. In fact, I really hope that you do them immediately and you don't just listen and absorb the stuff. You get out there and you try them on for size. So the very first thing you can do is call a successful sales rep. You're not going to just pick up the phone and call them and say, hi, could you help me? First of all, they're too busy for that kind of thing. Secondly, the quality of that conversation isn't going to be as good as opposed to setting something up and having a day and time where you guys can speak for 30 minutes or so, or even 15 or 20 minutes. So what you want to understand about speaking to successful people, people who are getting the results that we want, most of these people are awesome at those things. They're awesome at selling in this context, but they're going to need a little help from you in deconstructing the steps that they're taking to get that result, because most of them, they aren't sitting around, unless they're doing sales training, they aren't sitting around trying to deconstruct the process. And by the way, I first learned this years ago when I first started playing guitar. I grew up in a town where there was just some really badass guitar players, and I hung out with a lot of them just as I was picking up the guitar for the first time, and I would ask them questions and they really couldn't break it down for me. And then I noticed with a lot of even the better guitar players that I would run into at the music store, and you would have a really cool conversation, hey, could you show me that? They weren't holding back. They didn't really understand how to deconstruct it. And also too, when you're dealing with people who are really good at something, it's not like they're being an a-hole about it. It's just that sometimes they just can't understand how somebody wouldn't grasp what they're doing. So what you have to do is help them deconstruct and dumb it down. So the way that you're going to do this is by being really specific with the questions that you're asking them. So this way, it guides them to break it down for you. So instead of asking them, how do you sell so much? Which might be a logical question to ask them. If you want to know how to sell as much as they are, if not more, you might find yourself saying, how do you sell so much? Instead, you want to do something a little bit different and you want to be more specific. So you might ask them, take me through the events leading up to the last new account that you brought in, and please start with how you found the opportunity. So do you see how much more specific I was in that scenario? Now, what you can do then from there is, as follow-up questions, ask them about the forms of outreach that they use. What did their cadence look like? Did they use templates? Could they share a template with you? What platforms did they use? In other words, did they use phone, email, LinkedIn, snail mail, FedEx, text messages? Did they use referrals, warm intros? Did they use content? All of the above. Did they do anything creative? And that's one of my favorite questions to ask top performers, because I found, and I've done a lot of best practices studies for some of the companies that hire me, one of the things that I found when I was looking at the qualities of these top producers, the sales rock stars, if you will, is that they're very creative. So when asking that question, you can tap into their creativity and get some examples from them. Again, our goal here is to help them break it down. We can't help them break it down by asking general questions. The way that we help them break it down is by just very specific pointed questions toward specific skills that we want to learn and behaviors that we want to flag. The other thing that you can do, and I'm just skipping around to give you examples. This isn't necessarily the order of things that you're going to go in. You might want to start with, you could start in the order of the opportunity. In other words, how did they qualify and get in front of that opportunity? And you could take it step by step. But the thing is with top performers, you're not going to have 7.5 hours to interview them and talk with them. So what you want to do is zero in on the areas that are maybe where you're struggling. Or you feel that if somebody could just help me get in front of more opportunities, it would be very, very helpful. What I usually do when I am in front of my own opportunities, by the way, and I'm talking to somebody about sales training, one of the questions I'll usually ask, as you look at your team, if we were to break it down into getting in front of opportunities or taking existing opportunities and getting them across the finish line, which of those two, if not both, do you feel could really use the most love right now or the most polish? So I start there and kind of zero in. You might want to do the same thing with your own challenges. You might want to look at, well, where am I hurting the most right now? Where could I use the most polish or the most improvement? Is it getting in front of opportunities, or is it taking existing opportunities and getting more of them across the finish line? And then you can create your questions based on that. But last example that I'll give you, you could even, let's say that one of the areas for you is your pre-call planning and what to do. One of the questions you might want to ask them is, how do you typically prepare? What is your specific process? Are there websites that you visit when you do your research? Are there apps that you use? When do you do your preparation? Is there a certain system that you're following? Again, you want to ask them these very specific questions. You can't go and be very, very general with them. Some of them are gifted enough to really break it down for you. But I'm telling you, probably 99.9% of the people that I've been in front of and you're going to be in front of are not good at that. So you want to help them. Plus, let's be honest, again, you're not going to have 7.5 hours with them. So you need every second of that phone call to count. So that's the first thing that you can do. Now, another thing that you could do either, and we can say that this is either in addition and or it could be instead of calling that rep. If that rep works for your company, meet them for coffee before or after a team meeting. So if you guys meet locally, say it's once a month, you guys are meeting out in New Jersey once a month, it's a local team meeting, and this rep that you want to model is on your team and you'll be meeting up this coming Tuesday or whatever. You reach out to them and ask them, hey, listen, is there any way that while you're in the office anyway, we can grab a cup of coffee either before the sales meeting or perhaps after? And I mean, you could even try for lunch with them. But again, what I found with people who are really, really busy, it doesn't work too well. And I always think of, and I forget the line. What was that line that Gordon Gekko said in Wall Street when he's on the phone and the guy asks him, hey, you want to do lunch? And he goes, what, lunch? Lunch is for lightweights, or whatever the heck he said. And it's just, you're probably going to be better with something, with like a cup of coffee or whatever it is. But same thing is, if you have a regional meeting or whatever, maybe you can meet up with them and buy them a beer. I have learned, I have to tell you, more golden nuggets of information from sales reps by buying them a beer when I've been at a regional meeting. I have somebody who is getting the results that I want. I want to learn what behaviors I need to acquire to get to that level. And it's amazing because what I found is that all of us have egos in sales. Now, I'm not going to blow smoke, and I'm not saying that you should either, but anything you can do to encourage them to tell their story, but with the right questions. So again, you're not getting this general, well, what I do is you just got to go out there and make it happen. You're going to get answers like that. Well, you got to hustle. Well, what the F does hustle mean? What the F does get out there more or get to it or get after it? See, that means dick as far as I'm concerned. I need the specifics, and so do you. The other thing that you can do, if you have someone outside of your team, if there's an industry event that's going to be coming up and you can find out if they're going to be there, and perhaps, again, cup of coffee, get them a beer, see if you can, if there's a team lunch or something involved, maybe you can break away with them and have lunch with them and pick their brain for that half an hour or 45 minutes or you got to eat lunch anyway, right? What I did a few years back, when I worked for Dale Carnegie, as a matter of fact, I knew of this one sales manager that I wanted to emulate. So I knew we were all going to be there. I knew that there was going to be a break outside of the convention hall where we were meeting, and everybody was going to be on their own. And I offered to buy this sales manager lunch. We were able to get outside of the place, have lunch uninterrupted. It was great. And we had a good 45 minutes together, and I had lots of great takeaways. The other thing that you could do is perhaps your local chamber of commerce. Same thing again. You could either meet for a cup of coffee, or many of these events, they'll be an open bar or a cash bar, doesn't matter. Buy them a beer and sit down with them. Try to find a quiet table. Pick their brain. The final thing that you can do, if you're a road warrior and you're doing lots of travel, and this is a tip to me that can apply to other things. It's not just about learning and modeling. If you do a lot of traveling, one of the things you should do is look at the area where you're going to. Go on LinkedIn and do a search for that area. So, for example, one of the stops that I have coming up soon for some training that I'm going to be doing is San Diego. And every time I hear that, I don't know what it is with San Diego. Every time, if you guys listen to me on this podcast, I'm talking about studies from the University of California at San Diego. There goes my damn Anchorman references. Starting to go crazy. So anyway, I digress. But I'm going to be going to San Diego. And so what I did was I went into LinkedIn. I did a search. I found all of my contacts that are in that area. I reached out to some of them. Now, for my purposes, it was more of a networking thing. But for yours, if you know of some people that are getting the result that you want, then maybe you could do that. You could meet up with other sales reps, pick their brain a little bit. One other thing I'm going to add to this mix, one, and I just thought of it because it's basically a networking question that I ask, but I think it goes very well into this whole modeling thing. I make it a habit to find out what successful people are reading, and it's a very interesting thing that I found. Again, your mileage may vary. You might have a completely different experience. You might think that many of them are citing all the popular books that are out right now, or all the classics, like you have to read Think and Grow Rich, or How to Win Friends and Influence People, or I read this book that everybody knows about. A lot of the time, I get to learn about things that they tapped into that really aren't mainstream. And that's what I like, because now I can, and this is something that if you're not driving, I really want you to write it down. You get to tap into their influencers, the people that influence them, because now you can go directly to the source that they were pulling from. Almost like what you're doing right now, the modeling, you get to tap into what they modeled. And that was another lesson that I learned from music. Many times when I would meet a guitar player, I would find out about, okay, well, who influenced you? Who are some of the guitar players that really that you love to listen to and you try to emulate? And that would help me. But also guitar players that I didn't know, like for example, Yngwie Malmsteen was an influence of mine. I don't play anything like him, but he influenced me. I loved his playing. So what I did was I studied him to find out, okay, well, who influenced Yngwie Malmsteen? It was people like J.S. Bach and a lot of the classical greats and Paganini. What this guy did was he was studying a lot of violin concertos and then transposing them over to guitar. You see, that to me is really, really valuable because now I get inside of Yngwie's head and it guides me in looking for those behaviors. You could do the same thing by asking people, what are you reading? What are some of the things that have influenced you? Okay? So the other thing, too, that I just want to mention now, if this successful rep that you're modeling works for your company, and they really have to work for your company in order to do this next piece of advice that I have for you, because it's going to get weird if you try it otherwise. But if they work for your company, you could also speak with their manager for additional insight. This is something that I learned on the very first best practices study that I did, which was almost 10 years ago, by the way, for a $1 billion company that I worked for, a $1 billion printing company. And what I found was I could learn a lot by interviewing the rep and learning about those behaviors. But what I found is a lot of the time, people who are really good at things are not aware of why they're good at it or the little components that they're good at. So sometimes when you have someone else telling you about them, this person who knows them, saying, well, one of the things that Paul Castain is really good at is this, this, and this. See, most of us were brought up to be modest. I don't go around every single day and say, well, that's number 50 that makes me, that's thing number 50 that makes me effing awesome. I don't think that way. I just think about kicking ass and moving on. So first of all, if I have somebody who's going to speak with me and help me break that down, first of all, I'm going to love that conversation because they're helping me understand things about myself. And I really think that asking good questions of people is a great way to build rapport and credibility. And I found that rock star salespeople appreciate that because they're usually around people that ask really shitty questions. So you're going to wow them with your questioning if you come to the table with that. But also, when you speak with their manager, you can get another perspective. So once again, just like when you're speaking with the actual sales rep, when you're speaking with their manager, you want to avoid general questions like, what makes Diane a successful rep? I mean, especially if you say, what makes Diane a successful rep and the rep's name is Tom? That's going to be a bad situation. But also, I mean, seriously, ask things like, how does Diane typically respond to a prospect who's skeptical? See, that's valuable. And you're going to guide them into helping you deconstruct this whole process that they have, and you're going to get it from a different perspective. You could even say to them, hey, could you do me a favor? I want you to think back to a sale that Diane was, or whatever the rep's name is, but in this case, it's Diane. I want you to think back to a sale that Diane was involved in that got really, really competitive. How did Diane win the deal? Could you take me through the steps that were involved? And what I found, again, the quality of the question, just like in life, the quality of the question leads to the quality of the interaction. We all want to have a quality interaction in life, right? We want to have those good conversations, whether we're selling somebody something or we're learning. And the way to have a good quality interaction is by asking good quality questions. So I can't emphasize that enough. Now, that brings us to tactic number two, modeling tactic number two. Again, you're going to want to say, duh, but please hear me out. Shadowing. This is a huge one. We've all heard of it. Usually, either when we first started in sales, we had a shadow, the veteran sales reps, or now that some of us are at it for a while, we're the veterans. Many times it's the newbie that shadows us. But you see, there's a big mistake when it comes to this. And this one, I want to gear really at everybody, but I want to take a moment and say that if you hire new sales reps and you have them shadow another sales rep, this tip, you really have to listen to this more than everyone else. There is a huge mistake that a lot of people make when it comes to having someone shadow a rep. They have them go out in the field, and this rep doesn't know what they're looking for. Again, the average person, just like I'm saying the average rock star, like they're average, but you know what I mean? Most rock stars don't know how to break down what they're doing for you and naturally do that without some guidance. But most sales reps, when they go out and shadow a sales rep, they don't know what the hell they're looking for. So the entire day, they might pick up a nugget or two, but they're bonding with this veteran sales rep. And there's nothing wrong with that if you're on the same team, especially if this person can help you in the future. You absolutely want to bond with that person. But to me, you missed out on the nuggets. So what you want to do, if you are in a leadership position and you hire a new rep and you send them out in the field to shadow one of your senior reps, what you want to do is arm them with some questions. What you want to do before that is say, I want you to come up with some questions that you're going to be asking them about their sales process, about these appointments that you're going to be running, so that their time is going to be well spent, so that you can really learn how they do things. This is going to be entirely on you. Their job is not to just stop and break down their sales process. Their job is to focus on their deals that they're working today. They're being kind and allowing you to come along. So your job is to come armed to that ride along day with questions. Now, what you can do at the last minute is send them some additional questions, but you don't want to do the work for them prior to that. Have them come up with some, and then you can give them some things to look for and get answers to certain questions. So that's important. So that's one of the things you can do. Another way that you can shadow a sales rep, if they're on your team, sit next to them when they're making their outbound calls. That's a great opportunity for you to learn how they're doing things. Also, and this is one of my favorite things to do, whenever possible, if you could either jump on a WebEx with them, if your company presents and does your demos through a WebEx, jump on that and or have them record the session. So this way you can go back again and step back and learn. Now, here are some things. We're just going to stop for a minute. I want to step back and give you some things in general, whether you're shadowing someone or you're calling a successful sales rep or you're meeting them at a local trade association or whatever, a cup of coffee, a beer, lunch, doesn't matter. Some things that I want you to look for, aside from having those questions, you also want to look at things like, how are they packaging the things that they're saying? One of the things that I found, people who are really successful in sales, they have ways of describing things, and I call it the packaging. They package what they're saying at such a higher level than the average person. They have cool ways of describing things. They use analogies. They use stories. So what you want to do is pay attention to that, to the point where you almost want to say, hey, you know, while I'm shadowing this rep or while I am modeling the behaviors here, I want to become a student of packaging. So I want to pay attention to everything I see, whether it's a social media update that this person is doing, if they're a person who blogs, if they're a person who sends emails, if it's monitoring one of their cold calls and sitting next to them, if it's shadowing them in the field, if it's being on a WebEx. You want to become that student of packaging. The other thing, and this one to me, if you're taking notes right now, gets underlined like 7 times. This is the tidbit today that gets the arrow saying, over here, dude, don't forget what Castain is saying here. But you also want to tap into their psychology, their personal psychology, because one of the things that you're going to see with top producers is that their personal psychology is different than the average people. So what do I mean by that? You want to get inside their head and find out, what are they thinking when they're going to an appointment? Almost like that, if you're into sports and you look at rituals like a pitcher might follow before they throw that pitch, they might look to the left, they might look to the right, they might scratch their crotch and then spit to the left or whatever it is. But you will find that many of them have rituals that they follow. There is a sequence that puts them into peak performance state. That's one part of the psychology. Another part of it is you want to find out how they process rejection. How do they stay very, very even keel throughout the day, because sales is an emotional roller coaster. Within any given day, you have people telling you to piss off, and in the same, almost in the same breath, not really the same breath, but in the same hour, you have somebody else saying you got the deal. So how do you, as this old timer used to say to me, he used to say, "Paulie, you can't let the ups get you too up and the downs get you too down." Like, but how the hell do you do that without medicating? So what you have to do is tap into that psychology. You want to, again, they're not going to just say, "Oh, here's my personal psychology." You have to have the questions. So if you're shadowing somebody, you might want to ask them, "Hey, if I wasn't here right now in the car with you, and you're 15 minutes out from this appointment, is there anything that you find yourself thinking about before an appointment? Is there anything that you go through? Is there any like kind of a thought process that you can help me with?" Those things are really going to help you. But again, you want to get into their personal psychology, so that, and how they package things. Those are some things that you can look for. You know, just one example of something that I did, because the reason why I'm providing you with this example is that everything up until now, until this point of the podcast, has been for people within close proximity of you and people that you're going to be meeting at a local meeting, or you're going to be shadowing them, or even, well, I guess the call would be long distance, but there are even things you can do without another person knowing it, without being creepy. I don't mean spying on them or stalking them or anything else. I want to give you an example of how I modeled some people. I always take an assessment at the end of each month of where I was strong, where I could be stronger, and what I have to work on the following month. And one of the things I flagged a few years ago, and it's an ongoing thing with me, is I wanted to get better at my email marketing. So what I did was I decided that I was going to model the greats. So there was a lot of people that I would put into that category, and a lot of people I modeled, but I'll give you three right off the bat. One was Frank Kern, still is, Pat Flynn, and Jeff Walker, who actually wrote a really cool book called Launch, and it's all about email marketing and some of those things. So what I did was I signed up for their lists, and I observed what they were sending. How often were they sending it? What were the subject lines? What was the opening statement that they would use in these emails? What was the call to action? You guys get the idea. I broke it down, and I observed, and I learned so much by observing. See, you could do the same thing too. If you have someone, and one of the things you want to get better at is, let's say, social media, you can observe them. Success leaves clues. How often are they posting? What are they posting? How are they interacting with their audience? How are they packaging things? Are they using something so that it makes it easier for them? In other words, are they using some kind of a posting app? Like, for example, I use something called Buffer App. So this way I can preload a lot of the things I post. So this way, if I'm on a flight or if it's the middle of the night, I can be in two places at once, at least two places at once. So those are some of the things that you can do. Now, I have the last two things that I want to share with you today. And then I feel like we've got enough things to keep you out of trouble, at least until next week when we do the next Sales Playbook podcast. It's very, very important when you are trying to get better at something, and especially here when you're trying to model someone and you're asking for help, that you have the right mindset. Your mindset here, and it needs to be your mindset until, as my mentor once said to me, until they close the lid on your coffin. It has to be that of a humble student. And I want to put something to rest right now that you might be struggling with, and you absolutely have to get, you have to get over this, and you have to get over yourself. Seriously, like if I was sitting with you right now, and if I felt that this were a problem, we'd have a very direct conversation about this. You need to understand something, that when you're asking someone for help, especially another salesperson, Don't you dare think that some way that you're admitting defeat or saying you suck or somehow you're beneath them. That is not what you're doing. You are a humble student of sales. And part of being a humble student of sales is having the balls to ask people who are getting a better result than you are how they're doing it. You will find that pretty much everyone you ask, they are going to be nice to you. The ones who aren't, well then, move on. It's not something that you're going to need to go and book time with your therapist to get over it. This is life, and sometimes life sucks. The same way, you know, like when you pick up the phone and you're cold calling, not everybody's going to be nice to you. I get it. But I want to be very, very clear. Asking someone for help is probably the biggest sign of strength. Any human being could demonstrate at any time. So please get over that. The other thing, and this is super important, another moment where we need to underline things and put arrows and brackets, whatever you need to do to make sure you don't forget this next point. When you are going into these modeling situations, I don't want you looking for the big things, the big ahas. And the reason why we don't go radar lock on the big answers and the big ahas and the big sexy things that they're doing, that, oh my God, look at this thing that they're doing, I can't believe it. You got to stop looking for that. Because when you're looking for those things, you miss the little things. And to me, the little things are where the nuggets are. Why? Because they go undetected. Most people miss them because they're so busy looking for the big things, they miss it. It's a little blip on the radar screen. And I don't know, I always say this, I'm sorry if you've heard me say it a million times. I've been at this a long time. It's very rare that I find a big aha. When you're at it a long time, you're not going to find that big thing. But what I find is those little things. And we've been talking a lot about the little things lately. In fact, if you've been listening to the podcast, and if you haven't, if you missed the episodes, right now it's March 10th. So if you go back to the March 3rd episode, and an episode, I'm guessing, what was it, around February 25th, or whatever, at the end of February, the last two episodes, we were talking about looking for those little things in our own day-to-day. And they call this concept of finding these little 1%, these little tiny opportunities for improvement, they call it the aggregation of marginal gains. So that's what you want to be looking for here. Your mindset is that, hey, if I find some big aha, man, I hit the jackpot. But what I'm going to be looking for instead are a series, a collection of 1% improvements that I can make as a result of speaking with this person. The final thing about the mindset that I want to say is when you're looking for little 1% opportunities, it's also easier to find them because you're not sitting there waiting for something that's just so amazing that, okay, now I can take notes. But instead, you're just trying to find little things that you could make better. It could be how they're opening their call. It could be how they're ending their call. It could be a template that they're using. It could be how they communicate between meetings. You guys get the deal. The final thing, and boy, I think this might be the most important thing when we're learning. We can't just consume information without taking action. So the most important thing in this process is not only the mindset and the information stage. But now all of that stuff is meaningless until you do something with it. It's like this podcast today. It could be either entertainment for you and you're just consuming things, or it could have real meaning for you in that you create actionable items. Like, for example, if you agreed with me on calling a successful rep or shadowing somebody or perhaps doing some of these long distance things that we mentioned, but it's taking the action. And the advice I always give on this is get it on your calendar. Don't just say, well, next week I'm going to try that idea that Castain taught me, or next week I'm going to try that thing that I learned about our top producer that gets them all kinds of great results. You see, that to me, you need to say amen. You've got a prayer there. Seriously, you do. And somebody needs to tell you that. That's a prayer. And it's probably a prayer that's never going to come to fruition for you. What you need instead is Tuesday at 9:15 a.m., Tuesday at 3:30 p.m., whatever the damn time is, you set an appointment with yourself. But then, don't you dare blow off that appointment with yourself. My argument has always been that many of us, we're great at keeping appointments with other people, with prospects, with clients, but we set an appointment to prospect or to try something new and take it to the quote-unquote laboratory and try it on for size or whatever, mixing up all my damn metaphors here. But anyway, we're horrible at keeping these appointments with ourselves, but everybody else gets all the respect. But what about respecting the appointments we make in order for us to get smarter, in order for us to be able to serve more people, and ultimately to be able to provide for our families at a higher level? Don't you ever disrespect an appointment with yourself while giving everybody else all your respect. That doesn't work very, very well. And by the way, for someone who likes control, which most of us in sales do, that is a total lack of control. So you need to exercise that control. I'm not saying that everybody gets the finger when an emergency pops up, but you really have to honor that appointment with yourself. And if not, then reschedule it like you would with somebody else. Don't just say, well, yeah, I tried that idea that Castain had, and then there was this fire I had to put up. Okay, so that means now you're off the hook forever. You don't have to try new shit now because one thing popped up in your day-to-day. No, that's an excuse. And you allowed an excuse to get in the way of the bigger thing. And I just realized, I feel like I'm like yelling at you guys. And damn it, I'm going to yell at you guys. And you guys are going to take your medicine. But anyway, enough of that. So there you have it, folks. A really cool tactic. And there's a lot more to it, but I figured I'd give you enough to get started, keep you out of trouble for the next few weeks. If you enjoyed today's podcast and you'd like to learn how we might work together, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com, or you can email me directly, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And speaking of which, I'm Paul from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.